Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Hey, everyone. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you that for the most up to date information on mortgages in Indy's real estate market, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. I'm Rick Ritma, the hardworking mortgage guy, and I've had the honor of working with over 5,200 mortgage borrowers, helping each one find their best mortgage option. As a certified mortgage planner, I know my team and I can guide you through the process and help you every step of the way.
And I'm Ian Arnold, part of Rick's hardworking mortgage team. I have worked in the financial industry for 15 years, helping people purchase what they want and working on them, building their credit and their overall wealth.
On today's show, we're very excited to be highlighting Indy's real estate guru, Peg Atherton, with FC Tucker. Peg has been a builder and investor in real estate and brings that along with many years of experience to help her clients reach their real estate goals. Peg has a fascinating career in real estate with many ups and downs, but she has learned and perfected her craft and has become one of Indy's real estate gurus. Thanks for joining us, Peg.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, we do appreciate you being here, and I know we've worked together quite a bit, and every time I work with you, you're a fantastic agent. Your customers love you. You have phenomenal reviews. So we're really, really excited to have you here. I thought we could start, first thing first, I guess, is, you know, how would somebody contact you if they have any real estate needs?
They call me on my cell phone or text me.
And what's the number?
317-281-3533.
And again?
317-281-3533.
I always find it's better to repeat it so that people can remember it and hear it. We'll put it also on the bottom of the...
It'll be on the bottom of the description on our podcast page. So at the very bottom, we'll have all your contact information.
And how do they get to our podcast?
Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Yep, so that's Indy's Real Estate Gurus on any of the podcast sites.
Correct.
Or you can go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com and you can hit the podcast tab and listen there. So, Peg, how did you get started in real estate? I know you've been an investor and you've been a builder. I know that's a fascinating story. We'd like to kind of hear that story, how you got there and what you did.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think it just led into it. I don't know that I ever really felt I wanted to be a realtor. I went to John Heron School of Art at Ooey-Pooey, and so I always had that side of me, the staging side, the decorating side. I did a lot of the design for the building. And it just was a natural transition. I believe my daughter actually mentioned going, you know, let's become realtors. And that probably led us into that.
Yeah. And so you did that. Now, how long were you a builder?
I was a builder from 73 till the recession in 81.
Okay. Okay, but that I worked for a builder, and I think that gives you a really good background.
It does.
In real estate.
Yes.
And as being the builder, I'm guessing you're a custom builder.
Yes.
And so it gives you knowledge that most people don't have, because you have to go through all the approvals and all that. So you really have to understand it. Plus, you have to do a lot of research to understand the market and where you're going to build a house, you know, those kind of things. So I think that's a really good background. And so when did you start investing in real estate?
When everything fell apart in the early 80s, I decided that I would take another route. So having been a builder, the ideal thing was to start to purchase homes that needed repair. So I just started purchasing them, and then I would refinance them and buy the next one. It was just kind of a snowball effect. Buy one, fix it, buy another, you know, refinance
right.
it, buy another, and worked out well. It was a very lucrative business.
So you're kind of a builder and an investor at the same time, because I always think of a builder as somebody who starts from scratch, but the reality is a builder is also somebody who remodels, and that's what you were doing.
Yes, exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then your daughter, you said, brought up getting into real estate?
Real estate, yeah. She and I actually went to school together. We started out with a company, one of the major companies, for a few years, and then we opened our own company, which we have for 13 years. And she was just my right-hand man, woman.
Yeah. Got to be correct.
Correct
here, right?
Today, yes. Yeah.
So do you guys still work together today?
Believe it or not, she is my manager. There are two managers at the Carmel Tucker office, and my daughter is one.
Oh, nice.
So
at home, whenever she comes to visit, you can boss her around, but when at work, she bosses you around.
Oh, sure. I think she may be in charge. No, she's a sweetheart, an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, I don't know if, I mean, when it's your kids, they can, at some point, I mean, they can boss you around a little bit, but I don't think it's this, it's kind of like, you can't beat your older sibling at a sport, even if you're better than them. You can, but it takes a lot.
It does.
To get past that mental block and being able to do that. So that's, I think it's awesome you're still working together, because it's so nice to be able to stay connected with your family, and it's difficult when they leave the house.
Yes.
I find my kids they're all over. So it's.
Yeah, most of yours got so far away, they left states.
They had to leave the state to get away from it.
You know?
The only one really went very far. The other one's in Chicago, so I can get to that one. It's Louisiana that's a tough spot. Now, do you have any other kids?
Yes. I have a daughter in Florida.
And where in Florida is she?
St. Augustine.
What a great place.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I go down there to see my grandkids a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's important. You want to get down there. It's great to see your kids, but I don't know. There's something special about grandkids, too, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah, there's a reason we have those.
Yes, yes. And I also have a stepson who's in Wentzville, Missouri.
Okay.
I always have to think about that. Close to St. Louis.
Okay.
So. And
I can never remember the names of like little places my family lives. I have five brothers and sisters, and it's like they live in Cleveland, they live in Georgia. The only one I really kind of know where she lives is she's in Orlando.
That's good. Because
Orlando's easy. It's an easy one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the rest of them, one's in Arkansas. I don't know. You know, that's just they're all over the place. I don't remember all the places that they live. So as we talk more about really into the real estate piece, what should someone look for when they're shopping for a realtor?
I think experience is huge. Somebody who's accessible, available, and you have to drop everything in your life sometimes, as we know,
yes,
to get a deal done. Miss a few dinners. You're late for family functions. You just need to be accessible. And
I
think you have to be honest and caring. This is the biggest purchase most people are ever going to make. And you can't rush them through it. You need to listen to their wants and needs and really appreciate those items and follow through and make sure that you can do as much as you can to get those.
Right, because it's all about them.
It is.
I mean, that's really
them.
What it is.
Yes.
And our job, yours more than mine, although I think we both have to, yours is you have to be that person who is helping them through the process, but you're not as emotionally involved in it as they are. So if there's issues or problems, you can walk them through that. And I think that's where that experience that you're talking about matters. Mm-hmm. You've been in it for a long time. So you have seen many cycles in this business.
Yes.
Okay. And
lots of cycle.
Yes. And the cycle we just went through, many people they kind of came out like deers in the headlight because it's just was so different. But it actually wasn't the only time we've ever gone through something like that. I bet you've been through it at least one other time. I can kind of remember one other time. It was more than those times. Okay. Yeah. I think it was unique in the because of the lowering of interest rates and the increase in the amount of people who wanted to buy homes, mm-hmm. which made it, you know, they're just, and the fact that for the last 10 years we haven't built enough homes, it made it a unique scenario. But I remember, and this was back in the 80s, and in Carmel, I remember they were dating and timing their offers because it was booming at the time.
Yes.
And it may have been a microcosm of the whole area. Maybe not every area was like that, but I know Carmel was. And that's, I remember talking to agents about it, and they were like, oh, yeah, this is. So I know it's been that way in the past.
Yes.
So one thing that you did mention a little earlier, I want to go back to, is a lot of these real estate agents who came in, they were, or even now, think that last couple years were, oh, this is easy, anybody can do it. Let's be honest, all you do, put a house for sale, and those houses were going off. But the nice thing is you got to see, all right, now that it's gotten a little slower, that you got to put that hard work into it. And like you said, sometimes you're going to miss those family functions or something like that, because where most people are working 9 to 5, your job really starts 5 to 10, and then on weekends.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I think, too, I wasn't selling real estate in the 80s, but I was building, and we hit that, I think the last, we had a spec home, and I think we were at 18%.
Wow.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yes.
And that's when, that was kind of the last straw.
Well, yeah. Interest rates go up and down. I remember, and I think it was 1990, may have been 91 or could have been a little earlier, but I believe it was 1990. No, it's 91, when rates finally dropped under 10%. And we all thought it was the biggest party in the world,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Never thought it'd get there again.
No.
And never thought it would go down to under 3.
No.
It was just never. So that, I mean, it was, that was a very big change. Yeah.
So what excites you most? I know you've been in the business for a long time. So what still makes you wake up in the morning to go do it again?
I think this new team I've started has been probably the really good experience for me, because I have one person who has experience and's there, so there's not a lot to deal with. But and then I have two agents who've only been in the business a few years and one brand new agent. And that has been so exciting for me, to teach them, to train them, to show them how to go about doing this business and what it takes. So I think that has been a real good boost for me. Because after you're in the business a long time, I love people. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I love first-time homebuyers. I know a lot of people may say, wow, first-time homebuyers. But I do. They're exciting. They're anxious, and they can make mistakes, and you have to be there to keep them from doing that.
Yeah, and I'd like to, I'm going to get in there a little bit more, but I think we're up on the break right now.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about first-time homebuyers. I think is a I agree with you. I love that part of the business because they're so much fun to work with. So after the break, we will talk more with Peg about first-time homebuyers, and if somebody needed to get a hold of you, what's the best number to get a hold of you at?
317-281-3533.
And they can text or call that number.
Correct.
And it's also in the...
It's on the description or the bottom on our podcast. All right, on perfect. Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
We'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. If you need to get a hold of Ian or I, it's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And Peg, how would they get a hold of you? What's that number again?
317-281-3533.
And that's for all your real estate needs. If you're buying or selling, that's the number to call, or you can get with us, and we'll get you to Peg.
Now it is time for question of the week.
It is, and we forgot to tell her what the question of the week is.
That's all right. A surprise is always good.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
It's not a hard one. It just makes you think a little bit. All right, so the question of the week is brought to you by Advisors Mortgage, where we fit your mortgage to fit your needs. Contact us today to get your free mortgage plan. Go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. All right, so the question is, what was your first car?
My first car? My gosh.
Look at that smile on her face.
Yeah, it was a 1966 Rambler convertible.
A Rambler. And a convertible.
Yeah, it was green, the awfulest green you ever saw. So,
but did you like it?
Yeah, I liked the one I got for graduation from high school better.
What was that?
68 Camaro.
Oh, yeah, now that's a car.
That was a car.
Yeah.
That was fast.
What size motor, do you remember? Or did you know or care?
Well, it's about 350.
Could have been, 350, 302. Yeah. Could have been a big block, 427. I mean,
No.
396.
Her parents are like, no, not having that.
I've gotten enough trouble with the size engine I had. I can remember as a kid, I lived on Kessler Boulevard, and you would, between 37 and Allisonville, that road, I don't know if it is now, but it wasn't really curved.
Okay,
slanted correctly for the curve.
Uh-huh. I remember.
And we tended to race down there. Not race.
You would never race.
No. Statute of limitations is done. You were racing. It's okay.
And you would go, and it was slanted wrong, and I always thought, don't fail me,
And those were great cars, but they didn't handle all that well, to be quite honest.
No, they didn't. No.
Yep. And I know you may not notice, but you might. Somebody might think I'm a car person by what we have up.
Yes.
If anybody watches the videos, they'll see that I put up a lot of car stuff because I thought it was kind of boring back there without something, and that's what I had. So that's what I put up.
So we were talking before the break, and you were talking about what really gets you going. You were talking about the first-time home buyers. And
love them.
Yes. And what most people don't realize is when somebody's bought five or six homes, it's nothing new. It's some things that come up might be a little new to them, but they don't have that excitement. When you get that first-time home buyer that buys their home for the first time or their first one in their family that's purchased one, when that, it may not be a big home or something like that, but it still hits heartstrings, and you being able to help those people out, it's a different feeling.
That's it. And you meet the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
You meet mom, dad, sometimes all the brothers, sisters. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And just to make sure that they understand and don't get too excited, that they don't pay attention to what they really need to pay attention to, is so important. And getting them a good mortgage advisor, that's important.
Well,
it's certainly a piece. I mean, that's what you do well. You're an expert in all the areas, so somebody works with you, they're getting guided by somebody who has done thousands and thousands of transactions.
Yes.
You know the process. You know what to do. You can avoid pitfalls. Or if pitfalls happen that you can't avoid, you know how to take care of them because you've seen it all.
I hope so, yes.
Yeah, probably. You know, the reality is we never see it all because there's always something that could come up. But you've seen enough that most everything you can get through. And if not, you do have a team of experienced people around you that can help you if there is something you, on the small chance you didn't know, you got people around you who will.
That's it. And that's one of the important things for agents today. I think you say, well, I want to become a real estate agent, and you know, I wonder who will hire me. I think they need to take the time to interview the companies. What are you going to give to me? And that's one thing I like about Tucker. The training, if you get a good base and good training, there's always, you want to pick a company where there's somebody around to help, mentor, and that's probably where the teams come in and make that a much more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, the whole mentoring thing, Rick and I are big on this, is especially as you got your career going, it's to have a mentor there. And then as you get up and established and you become the mentor, that is huge. And it's great that Tucker allows that and the camaraderie that you're talking about.
It's a wonderful. I mean, it is absolutely wonderful.
It's a great training ground. I've talked to so many agents who, whether they're still there or not, that's where they started and they learned a lot by being there because you have a lot of experienced people like yourself who can help. And, I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm probably most encouraged about in the real estate industry right now is everybody we interview wants to help others.
Mm-hmm.
To a person. We haven't had anybody who's selfish in that way at all. If there are agents out there who, they're new and that's part of what this show is all about, is to get that type of information out. So people realize, I'm sure in your career, it wasn't all, you didn't get into real estate and you were a top producer and you were a guru. It took you, you had to go through those times and then you're willing to share those, which really will benefit somebody if they'll listen.
That's true. And then you'll find, I think one of the best compliments I ever got was she actually was no longer a realtor, but she was promoted into the Tucker corporate. And I saw her maybe 10 years later, and first thing she said to me was, "I will never forget how helpful you were for my first transaction." And we were on opposite sides, but you're all in this together.
Right.
You want the deal to come together. You want your buyers and sellers to be happy. And you've got to get along. I think another thing that is important, if I'm going to write an offer, I call the agent and I say, "Hey, I'm going to write you an offer. Is there anything I should know?" Because you can cut out a lot of the, if you introduce it to your buyer or seller, then they're more prepared for it. And preparing them for something that is a big issue to the buyer or seller helps the negotiation and helps everybody get along.
Yeah, and with you being in the business so long, you probably know most of the agents because you have called them and you've had deals with them. And even if you don't know them, what I find is they probably know you. Yeah. They've probably heard of you.
Yes, more than likely true. I don't want to sound, I talked to an agent the other day, and he said, "Oh, gosh, Bagtharp, I remember you."
Yeah, I get that too sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just goes to the, after you've been out for so long and selling so many homes and everything, and what most people don't realize is for every transaction, there's usually two realtors.
Yes.
So you got the buyer and the seller. So they're always going to talk. So you have to be, what they say, friendly towards all your coworkers everything like that. Yeah. Because you never know when you're going to run into them again.
Exactly.
The whole being the mentor. So have you noticed yourself being more helping out more now since you've been in there? And I know we saw a huge influx of new real estate agents over the past couple of years.
Yeah. I've tried to help as much as I can. With the team, sometimes you get more zeroed in on your people versus everyone else's. But anytime anybody comes up and asks a question, I'm always available, or try to make myself available.
Yeah, but you have a team, and a lot of your team is fairly new.
Yes.
Which is, I think it's vital. We talked about the mentors. It's vital they have somebody like yourself to rely on, because they don't have that experience.
Yes.
And of course there's also the piece where sometimes they just have to know they know, sometimes it's hard when you have somebody you can always talk to.
Yeah.
You tend to do that first, even though you know the answer, just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just in case.
I had that phone call at 8:00 this morning.
Yeah.
I know this, but I just want to hear you say I know this.
At some point they get it,
And they do.
Yeah.
And it's confidence.
Yes. So the next question I find, it's if you you know somebody, what I'm after here is you have somebody, like say it's Grandma Minnie, and she's famous for her cooking in the family. But she's really, her superpower is cherry pie. Okay. What is your superpower?
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Ritma and Ian Arnold. To hear the conclusion of this interview, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com and hit the podcast tab.